First Samuel chapter 15. While you're turning, we certainly appreciate the good song service. It's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord. I know I've been running back and forth through the day, and it's been rainy and nasty, and roads just saturated, and some places seem like flooded, and yet to be able to come into the house of the Lord, what an honor to be able to do that. And even though it's maybe been a miserable day outside, it seemed like it's been a beautiful day in the house of the Lord. And we're thankful for God promising to be with us, and meet with us. As long as we meet in His name, He's going to meet with us. And that's encouraging. And I certainly am glad to be here. 1 Samuel chapter 15. We're going to begin reading verse 34. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went to his house to Gibeah of Saul. Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. The Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. It came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. We're going to cease reading these verses tonight. First of all, what I want us to see is that God had a very important job for Samuel. And in order to be able to do that job, Samuel had to first accept that the old task had been lost. You know, whenever you think about the relationship that Samuel and Saul had, it was a very awkward relationship. But at the same time, Samuel was a mentor to Saul. And he was God's prophet to Saul. And Saul was obligated in some ways to Samuel, and Samuel certainly was. As Saul was his king, he was obligated to him. And no doubt whenever Saul failed, that probably done something to Samuel. In ways, he was connected to him. And so when Saul fell, I'm sure Samuel felt like in some ways he probably failed. You know, I thought about how preachers, you know, we get attached to the churches God places us over, and even with a godly jealousy that God places us over a church. And whenever you see the church prosper, feel good, and we get lifted up in that. And whenever the church has problems, you know, the pastor feels that too. And so I thought about, you know, those churches that have split. And I've heard preachers talk about that, how that it did something to them. It took something out of them. I thought about Brother Cherry Robertson and how that he pastored a church out at Macomb one time. And it come to a place where the little church was struggling, and he said he felt like God wanted him to leave the church. He'd been with them a long time and worked with them for a long time. And he said he felt like God wanted him to leave, but he also felt like that if he did, that they probably were going to shut the doors on that church. And he did. He did it God led him to go to another place, and he did. And right after that, they shut the doors on the church, and it ceased to be one of our churches. And that no doubt took something out of him in ways maybe he felt like he was connected with that. And you can just understand how Samuel would probably feel very connected with Saul. And now, the Bible said he's just mourning him. And God said, how long are you going to mourn him, seeing I've rejected him? In other words, it's time to turn away. That project is lost. That we're not going to go that route anymore. It's time to go in a different direction. And now I've got a man that I'm going to anoint of the sons of Jesse, and you need to get down to him. And so what I want you to kind of see is maybe the attitude that Samuel would have there, and the hurt and the mourning, and now God is sending on a very important mission. And if you go and you look, the Bible said he left Ramah to go to Bethlehem. If you go and look on a map and you see Ramah, and if you were going to go from Ramah today to Bethlehem today on a highway, that is about 35 miles, just under 34.8 something miles from one city limit to the other. And so he didn't go on a modern highway. He didn't hop in his car to get there. So if you could just understand God sending him on a trip, it's going to be at least 35 miles. Then he's got to find Jesse, and he's got to go to the home and all that. And so it's going to be a pretty good task. Like saying, well, he didn't hop in a car. He had to lead a heifer that far. So you hop in yours and you run up above Hattiesburg somewhere. You get out here and you grab your heifer and you take off on foot and you go the other side of Hattiesburg. Yeah, that's pretty good distance. And to think, you know, God said do that, and he said, well, maybe he rode a mule. Even if he rode a mule that far, he's still tired when he got there. And so after a distance like that, one would think you might want to just sit down for a spell. But look at verse 11 again. He said, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? He said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. That's very interesting. I know I preached from that a while back, but that's very interesting to me. A man that is in mourning and a man that has been set on his task, and now he's went 35 miles possibly on foot, and he gets there and he's sacrificing unto the Lord, and he's had this little service, and all the sons of Jesse's come through, and now they say, wait a minute, we've got one left, but he's out chasing the sheep. To be a shepherd then is a little different than it is now. They didn't have 40 acres fenced off with some ryegrass growing. They had to go wherever the grass was. And so they had to go locate him. And probably whoever went to get him, they probably went and just traded out, and somebody watched the sheep, and David had to come running back home. It probably took a little while. And he said, we're not going to sit down until he comes back. So what I want us to consider here tonight is when God places something on our heart, we shouldn't be messing around with it. You know, I think about those that are lost. And they are those that are lost. It seems like that they just stay lost for some time as if they've got all the time in the world. And I'll get around to getting saved sometime. Well, that's the most important thing in your life. And you don't have time to sit down. You need to get it done. You need to take care of the burden that God has placed on your heart. That's more important than anything else. For us to say that when God burdens our heart to do something, to move, to witness to someone, to change something in our life, whatever it is, we shouldn't have the attitude, well, when I get around to it, I'm going to take care of it. If God has placed it on our heart, we need to do it. It needs to get done. We don't need to continue to put it off. And so, I want you just to, let's stop just a minute, and I want you to consider the things you do on an average day. And I know that would be different for everybody here, but one thing we all have in common is we're busy. I don't care who you ask, we're busy. We've got things going on. And if we're not, we probably lie about it. We don't want somebody to think that we're not busy. And so we're busy. And just stop and consider an average day maybe that you would have. You know, you wake up, you got the alarm set, you get up, the alarm goes off, you get up, you get ready, and maybe you grab a little breakfast, you rush out the door, and you either go into school or you go into work, or you got to go drop kids off at school before you go to work. And then when you get there, you've got all your duties, school duties or work duties or whatever those duties are. You've got those duties that you've got to take care of. And then you make the trip home, and then you've got your home duties to take care of, because the grass don't mow itself. You've got to take care of it. There's always things around the house you've got to take care of. Then maybe you get a little supper, and you go to sleep, and you start the cycle all over again. Now that I've got your mind thinking on what you do through the day, let's go back and let's add a few things, because there's always distractions through the day. You don't get a flawless day where you just take care of the things you want to take care of. There's always distractions. Something comes up. Every day there's distractions that we have. And then you've got to add, most of us going to add in something to entertain us a little bit. We've got to be entertained. And so, you know, you've got your entertainment, whatever that might be. And then you've got the kids, and the kids require a lot, and you've got to look after them, and you've got to see to their needs, and then you've got all the calls that come through the day. How many of you make it through the day without the phone ringing? Phone's got to go off a few times, don't it? And so we got to answer them calls. And, you know, what I'm saying is this: we have a lot of things competing for our time. A lot of things. And there's only 24 hours in a day. And somehow we got to get it all taken care of. And so we have things come at us, and we say, where am I going to fit this into my schedule? Where am I going to put this during my day? Okay, something's come up. I've got to take care of that. So I've got to figure out where to put it in my day. Or sometime during the week, I've got to figure out when I can best do this, when I can grab a little time here and I can take care of that. And so, I say we have a lot of things competing for our time. Sleep competes with the job, don't it? And then the job competes with the kids. And the kids compete with our quiet time. And the list goes on and on. So everything's competing for our time. And somewhere in the midst of all that, we have the voice of the Lord. We have our God, our Father, that wants to commune with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to talk with us. And He wants us to read His Word and to study it so that He can commune to us. And He wants us to pray to Him so that we can speak to Him. And He wants to direct our heart and to lead us. Boy, there's just a lot going on. And I've heard people say, well, how do we fix it? I'm going to say this. I don't know that that's a bad thing. To be busy or to not be busy, which one's better? So I believe this. It is possible to be busy and still be in the center of God's will at the same time. And the reason I make that claim, somebody may argue with me, Jesus was the busiest person you're ever going to read about. Whenever people went home to go to bed, Jesus went to the wilderness. He didn't have anywhere to lay His head. He went to the wilderness to pray, and then He was up before everybody else getting back to the city so He could preach to them again. He was a busy man. He must needs go through Samaria. And again, He didn't jump in His car and go. He had to go out of the way over some very rough terrain to get there. He went to places He didn't, you know, most people wouldn't want to go. Whenever I think about the three kings who got out here in the middle of the desert somewhere, and somehow they planned to go to war, but they forgot they needed water to go to war. They got out here and got stranded and couldn't go one way or the other without, they were going to die of thirst. So they called the man of God, and the man of God come out and he gave them instruction.
And that instruction was, you're going to have to get busy. You are going to have to fill this valley full of ditches, and if you do that, God will send you water. God's instruction was, y'all need to get busy if you want something from me. If you want me to take care of you, you're going to do your part. So, it is possible to be busy and to still be in close fellowship with the Lord. On the other hand, it's also possible, and I want you to see this now, it's also very possible that we fail to hear the Lord because His voice is in competition with everything else we got going on. And that's where I want you to stop and consider tonight. Where are you at? Are you one that's very busy and yet your relationship with God is where it needs to be? Or are you one of these that's very busy so much so that you're not hearing from God? Because His voice is in competition with everything else going on. Now when we read about that still small voice, and we always, that's a famous verse, we go to that. Elijah was the one that heard that still small voice. And yet, look at what was going on in his life at that time. Well, first of all, he had an earthquake and a great wind and a fire to deal with. All that's competing for his time, is competing for his mind, is competing for his energy. I mean, put yourself in the midst of a fire in the forest. You look at these fires going on in California. That's rough looking. Could you imagine being smack dab in the middle of that and trying to hear from God? These hurricanes come through. The Bible said it was a great wind. Maybe a tornado. There's a lot going on whenever a tornado comes through now. A lot competing for your time and emotions and thinking and all of that. Hadn't really experienced an earthquake, I don't guess, but I hear they're pretty rough. I can imagine about how I'd feel if the ground started moving. It'd probably scare me a little bit. And all this, while this seemed like why it's going on, or at least right at the tail end of it, a still small voice speaks. And there's Elijah, and he hears that voice. He's right where he needs to be. In the midst of all this going on, he's right where he needs to be so God can speak to him. I want you to understand this tonight. Time is precious. We cannot have it back once it passes. So we can waste away time, or we can do what we want to do with our time, but at the end, we can't have it back. We can't go grab some of that time we just lost and get it back and do things a different way. Once it's gone, it's gone. And it's important that the thing that's competing for our time do not win out over the things that are most important. Some things are more important than others. They are. Some things are more important. And some things are more important at certain times than they are at others. Again, I look at this passage of Scripture and Samuel said, we don't have time to rest our weary legs. What God has sent us on right now is important, and that's more important than anything else even sitting now. Look over at Proverbs, if you will, chapter 7. Verse 1. Proverbs 7, verse 1. It says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments, verse 2, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tables of thine heart. So much is competing for our time, for our mind, for our energy. And God said this, you keep my law as the apple of thine eye. Now, that's a... You hear that little statement, boy, that child is the apple of my eye. It used to be said a lot more than it is now. I think it's kind of, we look at it as something that's an old saying, but boy, I used to hear it a lot. What does that mean exactly? God is saying this. When you hear that phrase, the apple of mine eye, that phrase refers to something or someone that one would cherish above all else. That's what that means. It means you cherish someone or something more than anything else in your life. The apple of mine eye. And God is saying that you need to keep my words and my law needs to be more important to you than anything else, no matter what it is. And again, there's a lot of things that we deal with, and there's a lot of things that's important. It really is. There's a lot of things that's important. But there is a difference between doing what we want to do and hoping that God accepts it. There's a big difference between that and doing our duty as we listen to the Lord. The Bible says, everything you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. That not unto men part includes us. You do everything heartily as unto the Lord, and you do it for the Lord, not even for yourself. You do it for the Lord. More important. Sometimes God may want us to go sit down by the water brook. I mentioned we need to be doing and being working. Sometimes God says, go sit down, don't He? And we need to listen when He says that. He did give us a day of rest. We just studied that in Sunday school. God gave us a day of rest, and He said rest. And we should take that into consideration. That is how God built us. We need rest. We have to sleep whether we like it or not. We have to. That's just the way God created us. God told Elijah, He said, go sit down by the brook Cherith. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I don't know what kind of food they brought, Brother Joey. It probably wasn't something too desirable. But at the same time, he was to go sit down and let God serve him. That sounds a little bit different than let's go serve the Lord. You go sit down and let God serve you. Imagine that. Sometimes that's what's best. To let God serve you. And so God instructed the ravens, and the ravens brought him food. And if he needed something to drink, all he had to do was reach over and get him a little sip of water out of the brook. God took care of everything he needed. Then God said, get up, leave this place, and you go over to the little widow woman. I have commanded her to sustain thee there. So his there changed. There was by the brook at one point, but now it changed, and there was over there with that widow woman. And that's where I'm going to take care of you. And so he had to get up and he had to go over there. Had to travel. He had to go. He had to get up and do something. Sometimes God wants us to do one thing and then he wants us to do something else. Sometimes he may want us to strike the rock. Other times he may want us to speak to the rock. And there's a big difference. May not seem like much, but to Moses it meant the world, didn't it? You better do it the way God said do it. And so, you know, he was doing his duty, but he wasn't listening to the Lord while he was doing it. It's urgent that we get that part right. That we do it the way God said do it. You know, God put me a long way from here. By the time I was 19 years old, we lived in Sebastopol, Mississippi, and I worked at Newton. At Lazy Boy plant. I know y'all heard that story before, but I worked there in Newton, up Highway 15. And I enjoyed that. I loved being there. And I made a lot of plans because that's where God put me. He put me there and was making a decent living. And because of that, for the first time really in my life as a young man, I felt like, well, I can sustain a family. I can get married and I can have my own house. I can move out of my father's house and take care of things on my own. And so that's what I did. Spring and I, we began to date and I decided, you know, we can be married. I think I can handle this. And so that's what we did. We got married and then we had a baby come along. And I said, we can handle that because God has fixed it where we can handle it. And then he began to call me to preach. And you talking about throw a monkey wrench in my plans. All of a sudden, there's a lot going on. I was going to work trying to take care of a family, and God was saying, I want you to go preach. And so I began, how am I going to work that out? Because I've got to work and be at work, and I've also, everywhere I got to preach, it's 200 miles from here. So how am I going to work that out? And I had to choose between one or the other. There's one thing more important than the other. But you know, taking care of your family is your duty. God said so. If a man won't work, don't let him eat. God said, take care of your family. And so I had to figure that out. Well, how am I going to work all this out? And so I'd miss a day and go preach. Then I'd come back to work. And then about the next week come along and somebody called, won't you preach on a Tuesday? I got to work on a Tuesday. What am I going to do? Well, I made a deal with God. When I surrendered to him, I said, God, if you call me to preach, I'm going. Wherever it's at. I didn't know it was going to be that rapid. And so now I've got to go preach and miss another day. And the way they work, they don't let you miss so much, Brother Freddie. And after that, they say they don't need you anymore. And I got where I missed 11 days, and you could miss 11.75. And so I walked in there, and I told them, I said, I'm going to have to quit. They said, why? I told him, God told me I had to. God said, he wants me to preach, and I'm going to follow him. There's a lot going on in my life at that time. And I'm going to tell you what, there was some clutter to go with all that, too. Because, see, I wasn't just working there because I wanted to. I wasn't just working there because I felt like that was a good job. I was working there because a lot of things were competing for my attention. I had a new wife. I had a new child. I had a lot of new bills to go with that. And God said, follow me. And so, you had to make a choice somewhere, don't you? Because you only have so much time. And you can't fit everything into it. So, when he directs, it's not time to take a seat. When he directs, it's not time to do what you want. When God directs, it's time to do what he says. And I want to leave you with this, because I know probably about what on some of your mind. Well, I tell you, I just wish there was more hours in the day. You know what we'd do if we had more hours in the day? We'd do more stuff. And we'd load it up, and we'd have more on our plate, and we'd just be that much more stressed. Let me give you this. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time and a purpose for everything under the sun. That's encouraging. And we usually hear that maybe at a funeral. We think about death. There's a time to live, die, a time to pluck up, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. And we look at it from that point of view. But now I want you to see this. God gave you enough time to do everything he wants done. Now, it's up to us to look to him to figure out what's important. And then we have to ask ourselves, what's more important, God's will or mine? And somewhere along the way, we have to cut some things, don't we? At some point, we do. And maybe sometimes we have to add some things. Mary and Martha. Well, it seems like I've picked on them a lot lately. Mary and Martha, both of them had a lot of things competing for their time. Matter of fact, Mary had the same things competing for her time that Martha did. Exactly the same. That's why Mary was wondering why she's not in, or Martha was wondering why she's not in here helping me. But she chose that good thing. And he said it will not be taken from her. It's more important. It's not that what Mary was doing, it's not what Martha was doing not important. Can I tell you what I think about that? I'll close. This is what I believe, and that's what it is. It's not scripture, it's what I believe. I believe after Jesus got through preaching, I believe Mary probably went in there and washed the dishes. That's what I think. Now, I can't prove that anyway, but I believe she probably did. She probably said, now that he's through, we can take care of that. Now, or she said, well, I'll tell you what, if you'll leave him things in the morning, I'll wash them when I get up. She probably said that. And I can't prove it, but that's her duty. And she said, you know, no doubt she felt like she needed to do it. What I'm saying is this, it's important to do what God said to do. He said, go to work, go to work. He said, provide for your family, provide for your family. Don't do away with that. If he says, sit down, sit down. If he says, go over here, go over here. But it's important we listen to him, because we can't do everything. We are not superhuman. You cannot live without sleep. You can't go without strength. There comes a time, he told his disciples, come over here and rest a spell. You're too tired. You need to come over here and rest. You need to come take a load off. You need to come eat a meal. You hadn't ate all day. You need to come eat. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. If we listen to him, he'd help us put all this together the way it needs to be. You pray for me. We'll ask for a song.